Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
I am dwelling on the mountain where the golden sunlight gleams, o'er a land whose wondrous beauty far exceeds my fondest dreams. I am drinking from the fountain where I ever would abide, for I've
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning to every one of you listening to this radio broadcast. I hope you are staying healthy and well as this new Delta variant of the Wuhan CCP COVID bioengineered synthetic virus advances rapidly through communities, congregations, and families, doing much harm and damage to the people's health. Don't be a human guinea pig for Tony Fauci, Bill Gates, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson. These individuals and organizations are committing genocide. Please do all that you can to enhance your immune system naturally. Learn all that you can about the COVID vaccine from the sincere and God-fearing medical doctors and virologists that have been canceled by the social media giants. And whatever you do, don't take that unapproved experimental vaccine that will surely shorten your lifespan. As this dispensation winds down, there are significant events that are prophesied to befall the earth. The title of today's message is The Battle of Gog. G-O-G. This is not the name of some new cyber ninja warrior game, but a real-life event that Ezekiel prophesied many millenniums earlier. Almost 2,600 years ago, to be more exact. Discovering the details of this future event is paramount to understanding and differentiating the many future events that are still to unfold as our Lord's second coming is nigh at hand. There is also in Scripture the mention of the Battle of Armageddon, which we find in Revelation chapter 16. Is this the same battle as the Battle of Gog that Ezekiel prophesied, or is it different? What are the similarities? What are the differences? That will be my objective in this series, to disclose the subtleties of these prophecies. Then to add even more complexity to the configuration of these events, there has been much added discussion about Psalm 83 war. The Psalm 83 war was written some 3,000 years ago by King David's worship leader, Asaph. Asaph is also identified in Scripture as David's seer or a prophet. So Psalm 83 is an unfulfilled prophecy that must be calculated into the other battles that are still future. Now, to add even more complexity upon complexity, there is a future battle also called the Battle of Gog in the book of Revelation chapter 20 that occurs at the end of the future millennial dispensation, which dispensation is also identified as the coming kingdom of Christ when he personally rules and reigns upon this earth. We must ask the question, is the Battle of Gog mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38 the same event mentioned in Revelation 20? Please listen intently as I untangle this web of future events to lay out a clear panoramic view of prophecy and answer the question, who will and who will not see these events unfold? Jesus emphatically stated, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Battle of Gog, part 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the second trump. And so we need to know when the first trump was. And that's right there in Exodus 19. And then the last trump is the rapture. So therefore, it goes without saying that the entire exodus of Israel from Egypt is just as much prophetical as it is historical. There is no doubting that Israel's entrance into the promised land is a prophetical snapshot of the New Testament saints' entrance into the millennial kingdom. The Old Testament Passover is a picture of our salvation through the shed blood of the Lamb of God, and our deliverance out of the world as Egypt is a type. So there must also be other prophetical parallels and similitudes that can be gleaned from this historical event. The 40 years of Israel's wandering the wilderness of Sinai must then be prophetically interpreted as I will do in this particular lesson. Foretold in Scripture, in two different books, are two massive armies that mount a terrifying siege against Jerusalem. Are they the same event? Or are they generally accepted as two separate future events? You have the Battle of Gog in Ezekiel is very descriptive and must be compared to the Battle of Armageddon. Where do we get that name Armageddon? The Valley of Megiddo, which is north of Mount Carmel, where Mount Carmel is made famous in the scriptures, where Elijah had the contest with the prophets of Baal. That's in the northern part of Israel, north of Jerusalem. Those of you who know a map of... and Douglas, if you're able to find that map, that would be wonderful, of the what we discussed about the Middle East. But Haifa is a major seaport in Israel. It's in the northern part of the nation of Israel. And they are at the base of the mountain at the Mediterranean Sea. And then the mountains rise up right from that port city, rise up right there. And the whole city of Haifa is up on a hill and looks out over the Mediterranean. And it extends eastward, and then at the other end of the mountain range is the Valley of Megiddo. It's a huge plain between mountains, but very large. I mean, it can handle a massive army, massive number of people. It's a big plain. Today, it's just used for farming. And there's crops that grow there. And so this battle, Armageddon, the Hebrew word is Armageddon. They are distinctly different battles that need further explanation and their timing revealed. Ezekiel is called Son of Man throughout the Bible, throughout the book of Ezekiel. The Lord calls Ezekiel Son of Man. Who else is called the Son of Man? Jesus does. He uses that expression referring to himself quite often. But we see it here in Ezekiel. Is called the Son of Man throughout the book. Gog is a prince or ruler. Magog is his kingdom, Russia. And we saw in the reading there that he comes from the north. The Bible uses that word, from the northern parts. Meshach and Tubal are best interpreted to be the Russian cities of Moscow and Tobolsk. Tobolsk is the second oldest Russian settlement east of the Ural Mountains in Russia and is a historic capital of the Siberia region, located at the confluence of the Tubal and Irish rivers. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. And so Japheth is the son of Noah, and the descendants of Japheth were originally called Gentiles. That's, and we'll see that here in a couple bullet points. So you're on the top of page 2 in your notes. Based upon advanced archaeological evidence, these Gentiles migrated northward into Europe, Northern Asia, Russia, Siberia. Tubal is the same thing as Tubal. They're equivalent. They're equal. It's the same thing. These cities were named based upon these descendants of Noah that ascended, that moved upwards, northward, through the regions. Gog is definitely a Gentile leader. A descendant of Japheth are Gentiles. Here's the proof, Genesis 10:5. We read Genesis 10, 1 and 2 just earlier at the bottom of page 1 of your notes. At the top there says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So now in the New Testament, Gentiles are everybody who's not Jewish. Okay, everybody who's not Jewish, they're just lumped into the title Gentiles. But in the Old Testament here, the Gentiles were, in the book of Genesis, were the descendants of Japheth. There is a strong likelihood that the Antichrist who leads the armies to the battle of Armageddon is an Israelite from the tribe of Dan. Okay, we're going to look at two proofs here. So if Gog is a Gentile and the Antichrist is a Jew, then they can't be the same individual. Okay, there's one proof here. Dan, the tribe of Dan, had a small region in northern Israel. They settled, they got the northern region, they were right up around the border of Lebanon. They got a small portion of land granted to them. And here in this diagram, you see that here's Israel, here's Lebanon. So they were right up here in this particular area of the of that part of Israel. And it says, Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. These were the last words of Jacob when they was living in Egypt, and he gathered his sons together to give them basically his blessings. And he said, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backwards. That has been interpreted by prophecy teachers as he is he is going to be a thorn in the side of his brethren. He's going to be at animosity with his own kin, So what happened with Dan? They were so far from Jerusalem that they separated later in time. They separated further north and moved away from their responsibilities as Israelites to go to Jerusalem. And they started worshiping the world and the things of the world and became more worldly, and they fell away. And today, there are Jews who oppose the formation of Israel. There are Jews in this country who despise, that are atheists. The Hollywood Jews, the Jews who are involved in banking, many of them, not all of them, but many of them are, don't go to synagogue. They're what they're called Reformed Jews. They don't worship the Lord. They don't go to synagogue. They're not Orthodox. They don't think they have to be home and stay home and not fly, not drive, not use anything mechanical, not watch TV or anything on the Sabbath day. They're atheists. They don't follow Moses. They don't care less about Moses. They don't believe Moses was a holy man. They don't care about King David. They just Jew in name. And they oppose the formation of the nation of Israel. And they would rather give money to the Palestinians and then give money to Israel or help the nation of Israel in their existence. So they drifted. The tribe of Dan drifted. Here is another passage in the book of Daniel you have in your notes. And the king shall do according to his will. The king here is the Antichrist. The king here is the Antichrist. The king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. That marvelous there doesn't mean what we think marvelous means. It means blasphemous things, things of contrary to the word of God, foul things, foul mouth, shall speak marvelous. But he magnifies himself above every god and shall prosper till the indignation. That's the abomination of desolation that we read of in Matthew chapter 24. And in Daniel chapter 9, be accomplished, for that he is determined, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. This is written by Daniel. Daniel only sees his people. The God of his fathers, speaking of Jehovah God, New Old Testament. The Jews, he did neither regard the God of his fathers, of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, nor the desire of women. Now, some think, oh, he'll be a homosexual. Some think he won't have any desire for any, what they call asexual, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. He will declare himself to be God. That's the abomination of desolation in the middle of the 70th week. He will declare himself to be God in the temple. And when the Israelites see that, they are warned, you better flee. You better hightail it out of the land. You better hightail it out of Jerusalem. Don't go back for your iPad. Don't go back for your cell phone. If you're on the roof, take off, jump off the roof and flee, because two-thirds of the population in Israel is going to die. And they're going to go to the Red Rock city of Petra. Russia has always had their eye on access to the Mediterranean Sea because Russia's northern seaports are hampered by severe winter weather. The northern part of Russia, those seaports freeze over. They freeze over. Russia is the chief builder in the world of ice crusher ships that crush the ice in the seaports because they try to keep their seaports open year round, but sometimes they get such cold winters that even their ice crusher ships can't do it, can't break the seaport, can't open the way for the ships to come in and out. And the ships then get locked in to the ice because their ports are way up there by the Arctic Circle. And so they have a hard time. So Russia has always had their eye on access to the Mediterranean Sea because Russia's northern seaports are hampered by severe winter weather. Russia's Pacific coast is sparsely populated and very remote from their major metropolitan cities and capital where Russia's population is concentrated. They don't have super highways like Route 80 or 70 going all the way across from the East Coast to the West Coast like we do. They don't have a highway system. Russia is much bigger than the United States. How many time zones in the United States? 4 time zones, right? We have 4 time zones. Then you would have to add some more for Hawaii and Alaska. But for the main continental part of the United States world, they got like 12. They have like 12 time zones that they span. And they don't have highways from Moscow all the way to the Pacific Ocean. They got frozen tundra that way. And I've watched some videos of machines, and it's a feat for the Russians to be able to invent trucks and caterpillars with the tracks on them to be able to go through from that tundra all the way to the Pacific coast to some of the remote cities that have no highway system, no road system, not even a road marked road. And they got these little villages, Eskimo villages on the Pacific coast. And so it's a contest for the Russians to try to develop something that's not going to bog down in the marsh. It's either too cold when everything's frozen, it's too cold to go and the equipment can break down. And then in the summertime, it's all mushy bogs and the equipment sinks into the bogs. And so they tried to invent some creative machinery to try to get over to that Pacific coast. So they all they have is some very sparse villages on the Pacific coast and military bases on that side where they have submarines and their air force. So Russia's Pacific coast is sparsely populated and very remote from their major metropolitan cities and capital where Russia's population is concentrated. So most of Russia's population is near Europe, is concentrated towards Europe. Russia lacks a strong seaport presence in the global scheme of commerce. Befriending Israel's northern enemies has been Russia's modus operandi to gain access to the Mediterranean. Israel has unharnessed a significant wealth of minerals that enlarges the ire of their enemies and makes it more tempting to attack Israel because of the wealth of mineral deposits that have been discovered in Israel. And so you look at Russia, and thank you for having this, Doug, up here. But these countries up here, right here, these were part of the Soviet Union, these nations. Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, I've heard of missionaries who have gone to these areas, and you're talking about dangerous area to be a missionary. I mean, they have to be very discreet when they come to America and talk about where, what country they're in and where they are, because that they'll lose their head. And you have the Black Sea, the last Olympics, when the Russians had the Olympics, they had this, they were in this northern area. There was Sochi, that's where the Olympics were, right there. So they want that territory. They want to get down here into this territory to get into the Mediterranean Sea. And so they have a great desire to get into that particular area, because they lack good navigable seaports. Roman numeral 3:2 in your notes. The Gentile nations that join Gog are descriptive and many. So we're going to go through all these names here. You have Persia. What's Persia? What's Persia? Iran. But I think I've told you this in the past. This is Persia. This was the land of Persia. How many remember the Shah of Iran? He was a Persian king. The Ayatollahs were Islamic and radical Islamics. Great conflict in that country. And we had a Persian family that lived in my neighborhood. They had a daughter a year or two below me in grade. And my mother was good friends with her mother. And they just lived a few doors away from us. And they despised being called Iranians. She said, "We're Persians. We're Persians." And they were big supporters of the Shah. They despised the Ayatollahs and the radical clerics that took over that country. And so those are the Persians, or Persia. So that is what Persia is. And the Persians, women, and under the Shah, the women were able to dress like you and I, like you ladies are able to dress. And even though they were, some of them were Muslims, they were not strict in any way about the women wearing the hijab on them and the face mask and everything, which has drastically changed under the Ayatollahs. And there has been tremendous war fighting or protesting in their country. The people wanted the Ayatollahs kicked out of that country. But Persia, Ethiopia, where's Ethiopia? You got Ethiopia down here. Sudan, Ethiopia in Africa. So Ethiopia is still in existing. You have Libya, which is to the west of Egypt. It's sort of hidden there. You just see a little bit of it. Who was the ruler, famous ruler of Libya? Omar Gaddafi. Killed under Obama's administration. He wasn't woke enough for them.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.